Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Malaysians have been held hostage for weeks now over the uncertainty, rumours and speculation about when the general election will be held. Today we have our answer. The announcement of the dissolution of Parliament today paves the way for GE15 to be held within 60 days, which is 9 months earlier than the end of the full term. So what can we expect at the starting blocks of GE15? Joining us on the show is political analyst Dr. Bridget Welsh. She's an honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia's Asia Research Institute. Bridget, so it's confirmed, snap elections are going to be held this year, and yet there were those who held hope that GE50 was going to be next year. The fact that the dissolution was announced today, Bridget, what does that reveal to you about the current political dynamics?
I think there are primarily two things that are going on. First of all, we can see that Ismail Sabri, the caretaker prime minister, he actually had to, he buckled under pressure to the party. That's the first thing that happened. The second thing that occurred is that I think UMNO as a party recognizes that their chances are better now. We've seen the opposition start to work together. The economic situation globally and within Malaysia is actually worsening from a perspective of some key indicators. And so I think their timing, they felt they would have the advantage. And so both party and personal interests were at play in terms of pushing for an election now.
Well, okay, let's focus on timing first, Bridget. If we think about timing in terms of campaign period, and I know the Election Commission is set to make an announcement soon, but would a longer or shorter campaign period be beneficial to the voters?
I think there are here also two things to consider. Number one, Malaysia has now introduced new postal voting system, which will mean that if there needs to be enough time for the postal ballots to return from all over the world at this particular juncture. And so as a consequence, that means that it moves from early November to mid-November to accommodate that. So there are more kind of processes to take place. Keep in mind also that polling itself will be expanded because the number of polling stations have increased by a third. It's a much bigger number of voters who are actually going to be voting. The second issue, however, is how does this benefit different parties? I think that the opposition goes into opposition in terms of the Pakatan Harapan, and to a certain degree, Pakatan Nasional go into this election less prepared with less machinery than UMNO, because UMNO had assumed the BN that had that the election was coming. They had ramped up their machinery much earlier. So I think a longer campaign period benefits the opposition compared to UMNO BN. So which I think there is pressure to keep the campaign period relatively short.
And what about voters? Are there voters who are still on the fence? Will this period between now and polling day realistically make a difference in what has become an increasingly fragmented and hyper-partisan society, but also, on the other hand, a part of society that is politically indifferent?
I think that campaigns in Malaysia have always been extremely important, and I think they will continue to be important in new ways. Number one, I think people are going to be looking more closely at candidates, especially in more urban areas. I also think that there's a lot of new voters, a third of the electorate at least, are voters under the age of 30. So as a consequence, there's a lot of voters that are first-time voters or had less experience voting. And many of them are swing voters that have voted only once. We can see that they're going to be looking at the campaign period very closely. So I think the campaign does matter in terms of shaping the outcome. And it's going to be interesting to see how the parties determine the messaging. The other big issue is turnout. And voters are not just deciding who they're going to support, but whether or not they are going to turn out to vote. Now, one of the challenges of a kind of flood-prone potential election is that this may create opportunities obstacles for people to actually vote. And I think that traditionally, UMNO-BN has had stronger electoral machinery, so they're able, and resources to be able to pull out their vote, so that there is a disadvantage to those that have less machinery, particularly PH and PN. Terms of being able to pull out their support base. So the choice of a campaign is actually whether or not people will choose to vote. And we can see in the last series of state elections, turnout has dropped considerably. And I think it's going to come down to who can bring not only their people to come support them, but to bring their voters to the polls.
Right. And there's been so much talk about what has been labeled, an Ummah bloc, a Malay-Muslim bloc. Ummah Unity is what they're calling it, an election pact by UMNO, Bersatu and PAS. Do you think that's likely, Bridget?
I think that this is a narrative that PAS has been using. I call it the three wives election. They want to be able to have relationships with multiple political partners as they move forward, at least two, maybe three, in the way that they operate. I think that the fact is that the Malay electorate has been extremely fragmented in the last series of elections and continues to be so, especially with PN and PAS coming in. Whether or not PAS and UMNO make a deal, particularly on the 29 seats that are seen to advantage them, I think we're going to see a dynamic at play. I think people don't recognize that this election potentially has a extreme benefit for PAS in terms of if it's able to attract some of the support from UMNO and also make a deal with them. I think so far the rhetoric has been that the deal is not on. But the relationship between PAS and UMNO historically has been one that has been shaped behind the scenes, not necessarily in public. And I think we can't rule out that there'll be deals that have been struck. But I also think there has to recognize that both the other parties are also looking at their realities. And so I think there are conversations that will be taking place across the political spectrum to look at what might advantage in certain sets of seats in order to create a situation where that individual parties don't have to deal with the dynamic of a more fragmented electorate. Keep in mind, what we've seen in the last two elections in particular is that three-corner fights have benefited UMNO. And I think that this is something that people are looking at in a very interesting way, which was different to what happened in GE14, where three-corner fights tended to benefit the opposition at that time, Pakatan Harapan.
Right. Very quickly, Bridget, I'm just wondering, what are you going to be watching very closely in the next few days? I know this is going to be a period where all our senses are going to be heightened, but what will you be watching for?
I'm looking particularly at, say, how parties are able to manage their political alliances to solve the issues of seat negotiations, I think are critical. I've already identified among the 222 seats, I think at least a third of them are highly competitive. But in running my preliminary scenarios today, what I have been able to ascertain is that it won't take a significant margin of change in turnout or in voter support to actually swing election in very different ways. It may look like UMNO has the advantage going into this election, but there is considerable fluidity and there is considerable vulnerability, especially given that UMNO's political support base among Malays did not increase significantly, both in Malacca and Johor. So I will be looking at how the configurations of contest take and then the final point will be how, of course, the parties begin to address the voters in their manifestos and to frame their political narratives. So far, they're still talking to each other as opposed to talking to the Malaysian electorate.
That was political analyst Dr. Bridget Welsh from the Asia Research Institute at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Joining us now is Ibrahim Sufian. He's the Executive Director of Merdeka Center. Ben, thanks for joining me on the show. This hashtag, Undi Banjir, has been trending on social media since this afternoon. Who does Undi Banjir, poles during flooding season. Who does it benefit, Ben?
Well, I mean, this Undi Banjir thing phenomenon right now is really spreading within the urban areas and areas where there is a sizable support base for the opposition, specifically Pakatan Harapan. But I think amongst younger people who are internet or social media savvy, that's spreading as well. And so I think, you know, it's going to make its rounds over the coming days. And depending how the weather cooperates with the Prime Minister and the ruling party, if there are no untoward accidents, incidents in terms of flooding and all that sort, then I think it'll be fine. But if there is something unexpected or larger than expected, then I think it's going to play itself into the election cycle and perhaps influence some people. I think one example we have is back in 2018, the election was actually held on a working day. So things like this that inconvenience voters tend to draw some anger or some ire, and those who are motivated will, who previously maybe were less motivated to show up, might make the effort to come out to vote just to express their feelings.
Right. Merdeka Center, in its surveys, has it engaged what public sentiment might be to have polls this year, polls during a monsoon season? Is there appetite for this among the electorate?
Well, specifically, no. To be honest, we didn't ask whether people, you know, were up to going to the polls during the monsoon season. But we did ask a question about having fixed term, because that's something that our NGO friends were talking about. And so we wanted to test the idea. Do people anticipate or do people support the idea of having a fixed term in 5 years and then have an election at the end of the period? And overwhelming, 75% to 80% of Malaysians support the idea of having fixed term. So I think, you know, to sort of answer your question, while we didn't ask specifically about polling in the monsoon season, but I think the public does want elections to be held at a time when, you know, there are less inclement weather and less unexpected situations and things that don't inconvenience them. So they will probably, if something happens, it's going to play out poorly, but if it doesn't, then I think the election is just going to be a normal election without any, you know, extra drama or emotion attached to the timing of it.
Well, okay, so elections have to be held within 60 days from today. Previous elections, 2013, 2018, the president was to hold, the tradition was to hold polls, I think, 1 month after Parliament's dissolution. What are you expecting this time around? Are you expecting a short campaign period?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're expecting a campaign period no longer than 2 weeks, which has been the case for, you know, a couple of decades now. So anywhere between 11 to 15 days thereabouts. And I think in terms of timing, we don't really know. The Election Commission will have to come up with their meeting and then propose those dates. But I think we're looking at something no later than the middle of, or latest perhaps the third week of November. So we are, you know, probably between 4 to 6 weeks away from now at the maximum.
Okay. Today's statement from the palace had said the Yang di-Pertuan Agong had no choice but to consent to the Prime Minister's request for dissolution. But His Majesty was very disappointed with the current political disorder. How are you reading this statement, this disappointment in the political disorder?
Yeah, the tone of the statement was interesting because it does, you know, sort of convey the view that the king, you know, doesn't want the election to be held at a time that it can inconveniences the public or where there's uncertainty in terms of, you know, the conditions in which the elections are held. But then, you know, he's bound by his constitutional parameters and he's acted accordingly with that. But it does speak of a situation where this election is called by the Prime Minister at the insistence of his party. And so there is that tinge of disappointment which is expressed, you know, clearly expressed, that does show a sense of haste in trying to call this election, perhaps to try and, you know, get the votes done before something else happens in the political arena that changes the potential outcome for Barisan Nasional.
I do want to touch on the state elections, the fact that Pakatan states, Pakatan-led states, Penang, Negeri Sembilan, Selangor, they've decided not to call for dissolution of the state assemblies in tandem with GE15. How should we read this? Is that a good move?
Well, I think, you know, it speaks of a situation where maybe the Pakatan Harapan, as well as PAS, I think I read in the media yesterday that PAS too has decided not to proceed with state elections in the three states that they control. So these six states potentially are not having elections now. And I think it speaks of, number one, they probably will use this flooding season as a campaign material, as campaign narrative, part of the narrative. And number two, it also means that they probably have a bit more work to be done to prepare ahead of the elections. Like I know in the state of Selangor, the state budget is going to be presented at the end of October, so at the end of this month. And therefore, they probably will line up programs and offerings to the public that will be implemented in 2023, thereby hopefully improving their chances going into the state polls later next year.
All right, Ben, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Ibrahim Sufyan of Merdeka Center there, and we're going to take another very quick break, but we'll be back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Thanks so much for staying with me on Consider This. Bastian On joins me now. He's an EXCO member for UMNO Youth. Bastian, UMNO has been pushing for elections to be held as soon as possible. You've now got your wish. Why do you think this strategy will work in favour of UMNO?
I think first we have to look into the current economic scenario of the world. That everyone from leaders and economists predicted that next year is going to be very gloomy. So I believe that by rather than doing it later, why don't you do it now? So at least there is a positive impact after a post-election, that there will be always a positive impact of post-election, that the market will be enticed. And and also that the investor will have more confidence to come into Malaysia. There is point talking about the state budget and you know that investment to the country is very important in order to spur the economy.
But that is a prediction that next year might be worse than what is happening currently. Currently, we know it's the flood season. We know we're dealing with a cost of living crisis. Public sentiment can turn sour. This could backfire on UMNO and Barisan Nasional. It can be seen that UMNO and Barisan Nasional is not concerned about the welfare of the rakyat, but rather with the consolidation of its power. How are you going to combat that narrative when that is the prevailing message right now?
From the party strategy point of view is that it is important that we to do the election now rather than doing it later, because we don't want to be blamed for the economic slowdown in the country, even in the recession that we're facing, and the post-COVID economy is very, very not promising. And coming back to this flood situation, everybody can predict. That's why that I'm sure that the Prime Minister have visited, getting a report from the meteorological department. As you can see, there's also the King has visited the meteorological department, and they have weighed their risk of doing an election during this time.
Can I ask you, Bastian, who wants an election now? I mean, when you speak to everyday folks, you know, Rakyat Marhain, when you speak to them, are they excited to have elections? Is there even appetite for elections right now?
They are looking at their well-being and also their economic situation, that their income has been affected because of our...
Have you... have you heard anyone say that they are excited for elections right now? Anyone not in the political realm?
Well, you can see that the Rafizi is very excited going down the country campaigning about garnering support for the party. So I'm sure that there is some indicator that they try to fish votes now, and I am sure that they have garnered some attention during their tour.
Well, we had the palace release an announcement by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong today, who said he had no choice but to consent to the dissolution, but he's very disappointed with the political disorder. Who do you think he's disappointed with?
I think that both sides have been pushing for election, and of course, opposition saying that they don't want election, but they are heavily campaigning on the ground. And we're afraid that this will become, they will have a negative impact if UMNO try to do the election next year. And part of the strategy is that UMNO have to do it now. First, they don't want to be blamed later. Secondly, that we believe that we have better chances now rather than later.
So Budget 2023 that was tabled just a few days ago, I mean, was that BN's election manifesto?
I think that, of course, if you look at the budget, it is a budget for election. So, and also that it will also drum our economy into a better situation. That if people want that budget to be executed, so they must try to vote for Barisan Nasional in this coming election.
Okay, Bastian, you're an exco member for UMNO Youth. Now, this election, we will see an influx of Undi 18 and AVR votes. What is it that you believe will attract these votes to UMNO?
If you look at state election, Johor state election is a very low turnout of Undi 18, and I think that I expect that in the general election, GE15 is also going to be the same. It will be a low turnout from first-time voters of Undi 18 to 21 years old and below.
All right, Bastian, thank you for joining me on the show. That was Bastian On from UMNO Youth, and that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night. We'll be right back.